Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, the devil won't smoke, this ain't a joke, so I bring the fire, yeah. Spiritual, my armor is on, check the attire, yeah. I can stick to the mountain, tell us more, I ain't got a claim, yeah. I'm not fresh or advice, but I just resign, and I guess I'm a diamond, yeah. Guess I'm a diamond, guess I'm a diamond, yeah. I just been shining, steps out of place, but I'm back in alignment. I know it's only a matter of time before I finally see everything that he promised. Tired of the king, you can call me your highness, but trying to stay humble, I'm still even rhyming. That's why I'm hungry, a lot of you thirsty, and that's why we really don't have much in common. Let me switch up the tempo. God say tempo. Gain more point like pencil, follow on the path that he said like a stencil. Renewing my mind every day is a must, cause I gotta guard my temple. I know a pipe under pressure would bust, but that's not one of my issues. One of my grounds ain't tensile, never been fake, man, I'm way too official. Giving out everything in me, gotta die empty like my initials. All the folks that tried to block me, about to watch me take off like a missile. Never slide in, tryna claim me fan, but he not one of my kinfolk. When it come out of his mouth, and I already know that the devil be lying. How you gon' tell me my God won't come through if he need his supply then? I done missed so many things in my life that had me crying. Keeping me through the pressure, cause he already know he making a diamond. Never want smoke, this ain't a joke, so I bring the fire, yeah. Spiritual, my armor is on, check the attire, yeah. I can speak to the mountain, tell us the more, I ain't gotta claim it, yeah. I know pressure is price, but I just been signing, I guess I'm a diamond, yeah. Guess I'm a diamond, guess I'm a diamond, yeah.
What's up, world? You just tuned in to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most beautiful sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I'm the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I want to thank everybody for tuning back in. Once again, we are in our 12th season doing this particular radio show. Tonight, we're talking about music makes me feel. I have two fantabulous, dynamic men that are coming on, and they are going to be the guests tonight, and they're going to be telling you about themselves, how music makes them feel, how comedy makes my second guest feel. And just sit back and enjoy the show. Go get you a popsicle, get you something to drink. Tell somebody about the show so they can listen in as well. Excuse me. I want to first start off by giving announcements like I always do. And birthday shout-outs. I know there's many people born. And a lot of them are people I might know, but Tamara Hickenbotham, it was her birthday this month. My niece, Marquisa Seely, her birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, baby. Alfonso Hines Vanderpool Gordon. We used to call him Levon when he was a baby. And he, you know, holds a special place in my heart. Happy birthday to him as well. We used to have him and Marquisa together and taking them different places, and they were the same age, so it was so cute. And also my first guest tonight, Humphrey Bogart, his birthday is tomorrow. So shout-outs to everybody born in the month of September, all of the Virgos out there. Enjoy yourself, be safe, and I want to give condolences. I don't know anyone close to me that has passed away or anything like that, thank God. But I know the Queen Elizabeth of England just passed away this week. So I just want to share condolences to her, her family, or whoever may have loved her. And anyone else that may be grieving the loss of a friend or a loved one. So I wanted to say that donations, you can give to this show monetarily. All the information is up on the show page. If you'd like to book yourself for this particular show, there is a new fee for being a guest on this show. And also, you can do that by also buying a book. I have 19 books published, buying some of my artwork. I have about 30 pieces. So you can do that. You know, if God sees fit and lays it on your heart to give, you can do that. You can also book me. I do several things, so I can actually help you in the area of consultation with your business. I am a spoken word artist. I do acting. I write. I do a lot of things. So shout me out, inbox me, let me know what it is that you're looking for, and we can discuss it. The information as far as the books, you can go to my website, check on the show page for books, and then there's a separate show page for art. So you can browse through all of that, read the descriptions, read everything. And if you're interested in something, text me. Let me know who you are and what it is that you're looking for. I do need to read scriptures. And we're talking about music on tonight. So I wanted to read you a few scriptures dealing with healing, musical healing. We know that laughter is a medicine to the soul. We know that. We've talked about it a couple of times on this show. But 1 Samuel 16:23 says, "And whenever the harmful spirit from God was upon Saul, David took the lyre and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the harmful spirit departed from him." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Ephesians 5:18-19 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit and addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart." I do that every time I get up. I play my own music, and, you know, my house is always filled with music. Music heals my soul. And I'm not talking about secular music. I'm talking about gospel music. And there's several, you know, gospel singers that I love out there, and that just is, helps me to start my day off right, you know, aside from reading the scriptures or my devotional. And so what I wanted to add to that, when we're talking about healing, because I used to do definitions for everything on this show all the time for years, but it could be the simplest word that we actually cannot describe. So I just want to let you know what healing is. It is the opposite of being sick, to become sound or healthy, to alleviate, to cause your wound or injury of a person to become healthy. And so when we're talking about healing music in a spiritual sense, we use anointed too loosely, because everybody is not anointed. You know, there's a difference. When I'm talking about anointed, I'm talking about something that is freeing you from whatever may be hindering you in your soul, divinely purposed to set the captives free. Setting a person free from unclean or demonic spirits. It's not about, you know, if it's not about the word of God and the music, you're singing secular music. You're not singing anything that is supposed to honor the Lord. So it cannot be anointed in that aspect. It can touch you. It can move you. Different sounds, different things can do, you know, change a mood or change an atmosphere. I do believe that. But when we're talking about using your music or using your voice in a spiritual sense for the, you know, to allow yourself to be used of God and being anointed, you could be singing a gospel song and still not anointed. But God can use a certain person who is close to him and put a special something on that thing so that when you're listening to it, it just breaks free some of the things that you might be dealing with. It might be depression. It might be whatever it is. So I just wanted to make that clear because some people have the wrong idea of what anointing is. And you could be anointed in any area. It may not just be music. So I just wanted to say that. And quickly, I'm going to go because I don't want to take up no more time for my first guest. This is my cousin, who I love dearly. And he has been making great in his music. And I know he is waiting patiently on the line. So I'm going to play a song of his that he sent me. So you guys can hear it and listen to it.
Okay, you run the streets with that heat.
What you smoking on?
But you don't want that smoke, not with me.
What type of pack are you smoking on?
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 Big Draco popping off. White girl, rock it off. Getting money. Wife, she popping off. Talk to 12, stop it, dawg. It ain't my fault, she like it raw. You want drama at your doorstep? All I do is make a call. Hitting all of y'all. 911, emergency call. Fill the clip, empty it all. What you see is all. You do not want me involved, I'll kill you, dawg. Okay, you run the streets with that heat.
What you smoking on?
But you don't want that smoke, not with me.
You smoking on
big trip neck on some
yeah.
I love the streets, it made me rich. I love my haters but make them sick. And all the hoes on my I stay on my game but stay low cause I'm up now. Run through all this cash, watch it blow. Let me show how I'm living this fast life. It's too late to slow down. Real goons on my team, best believe that they gon' ride out. Turn this inside out. Power, put your lights out. Keep running your mouth when you know that you gon' hide. Push that rock with it. All you gotta do is hit the block with it. I see y'all haters keep watching it. But ain't no way y'all stopping it. Time is money on the clock with it. Never mind that bag, I need a pot with it. I'ma do my thing until the day I'm gone. What you smoking on, huh? Hitting all of y'all. 911, emergency call. Fill the clip, empty it all. What you see is all. You do not want me involved, I'll kill you, dawg. Okay, you run the streets with that heat.
There you have it. That was Humphrey Bogart's cut, and he is going to be on in just a second. I'm going to read his bio. Bogart grew up in Connecticut, and his journey into music began at the tender age of 8 years old when he started out taking drum lessons. However, he soon developed a real passion for rap. Even to the untrained eye, it was clear that rap music was his true love, and he was smitten. From DJing hip-hop music to music ciphers to a rap duo called Con Artists, Bogart continued to learn and perfect his craft. He has been rewarded by his efforts and gone on to open up for hip-hop legends such as Slick Rick, Mos Def, and Fat Joe. Humphrey Bogart continues to strive towards his ultimate goal of becoming an artist whose voice and message are heard by the world. And so I'm going to click him in right now.
Hey, what's going on?
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. You don't have me on speaker, do you?
Yeah, I had you on speaker. Now you're not on speaker.
Yeah, because it's not a little clear when it's on speaker. But
okay.
I just wanted to have you on, cuz, because you have been doing this for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
I can remember when I first saw you many years ago, and you were performing right down the hill from where I used to live, right there on the, I think it was the water side.
Yes.
In any case,
Sunset.
You have, yeah, Sunset, that's right. It was at the Sunset. And I just was taken back by you. You know, we were, you know, a lot younger, and I was a lot younger. And, you know, so we go through different stages of, you know, music and what it is that we like and what, you know, do and what moves us. Tell me, what got you into this? I know you were 8 when you started dibbling and dabbling with the drums, etc. But what make you say back then? What made you say, I want to be a rapper?
Well, you know, when I first started out, you know, I used to, you know, enter ciphers and stuff like that with groups of people, and you know, we just bounce words back and forth with each other, and then, you know, a couple of my friends, you know, they told me, they was like, yo, you're really good at this, man. You know, you're like, you nice. You know, they would tell me, like, yo, I was real nice at it. And it just felt good to actually impact people with the words that I spoke or anything that I said. And just and on top of it, you know, the rhythm of music and the language of music, it just felt like a getaway to me. So I just fell in love with it. You know, and just been addicted to it.
Yes, and so I know your family, you know, my relatives, I know they encouraged you. Was there ever a time where, you know, your mom was like, look, I want you to do something else, or was she on board from the beginning?
My mom, she's always been supportive of whatever I've done. You know what I mean? She acknowledges the fact that I do music, and she knows how much I love it. And she actually likes a lot of the music that I do. So she kind of like, you know, she's like rooting for me. So, you know, I've always had the family, you know, rooting for me. So, you
Absolutely.
Know, that just makes it all better. You know, and I was, you know, born into a musical family on my mother's side and on my
Yes.
father's side, you know. So, you
yes,
know, it's just hereditary
absolutely.
For me.
Right. It surely is. We have some very talented and gifted people in our family, long-distance relatives and close relatives.
Exactly.
And it makes me proud, you know, when I see somebody, especially that is in my family, doing great things. Now,
yeah.
What are some of the places that you have played at, you know, and rapped at?
Well, I've performed, I've done festivals, I've performed from here to from Connecticut, or should I say from New Hampshire to Miami, you know, and everything in between, you know, Atlanta, Virginia, Maryland, you know, Jersey,
right.
New York, Connecticut, you know, I've done a lot of,
yeah.
you know, shows all over the place.
And you had a show last night. I know you was
I performed,
saying that, and I put up.
Yeah, I did a show out in Queens. We did a rooftop show. It was a good turnout. Saturday, I performed at Coney Island. In New York, in Brooklyn. So you know, it was a really good turnout. I've been getting a lot of good feedback and a lot of respect from a lot of the pioneers of hip hop, such as like Grandmaster Cass and the Fearless Four and MC Coke, LaRock, you know, they've all been, you know, just rooting for me, man.
Yes, that is awesome. Because, you know, when I was growing up in the early 70s, you know, and rap music was making its way, you know, through, and I was listening to the pioneers. That was my time, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Run DMC, as time went on, you know, Houdini, you know, a lot of different artists. They were like the bomb. And we were seeing rap unfold And because, you know, we thought, you know, maybe it wasn't going to last forever, but it did. We saw, you know, some of these greats before your time came up on Soul Train, which was like mind-blowing, because that was a show that let us as black people see who was on the scene, who was making moves, who was good. You know, that was a show directed for us, you know. And, you know, so, you know, to see you come through after the pioneers is wonderful. I've even had Curtis Blow in this show. And then, I mean, you know, people might not know who Curtis Blow is, but he was one of the pioneers, you know. So what are some of the things that any of them that you've encountered have actually discussed with you as far as honing your craft or making it even better than it already is?
Well, once upon a time, you know, I had a couple of, you know, telephone calls with Russell Simmons, and, you know, he would tell me, like, because, you know, I'm into filming and I'm into doing production, and, you know, he basically told me, like, you know, you got to focus on one thing, you know, don't do everything all at once, because, you know, the race to the finish line becomes longer. It's like, If you're doing video and you're rapping at the same time, you know, it cuts the distance in half. So when you just focus on one thing, you'll get to the finish line quicker. So, you know, I stopped doing too many things and just got real focused on, you know, the art of writing music and, you know, and basically just putting the songs together. And so I've been focused on that, you know, and that was from Russell Simmons.
Okay.
So, and ever since he told me that, you know, I've done nothing but went up higher and higher.
Wow, that is wonderful. And, you know, he has made his mark in society.
Yes.
For, you know,
absolutely,
young black women and men, you know, in the area of music and in the area of comedy, et cetera. So,
absolutely.
Yes, most definitely. And, you know, I believe that what he said is absolutely true. You know, I don't think you should stop everything, but I think that the focal point should be in one particular focus, because he's right. The more stuff you do, the longer it seems to take, you know. So it's really, you know, crazy, you know, how that is. But in any case, I want you to tell me how music makes you feel.
Well, music is like, you know, it's like a form of therapy for me. It's like I could be down, I could be stressed, and then next thing you know, when I get when I start to create, and I just take all of that worry and stress, and then I just put it towards the music, and then you hear it come out in the music. So it's really more of it's therapy to me.
Right.
So it makes me feel
right.
Good. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes. Music definitely is therapy, and that's why I was reading a little bit about, you know, what you know, music, how it can heal if used in the right way. Because, you know, we know that there is stuff out there that is good, sends a great message, and then there's stuff out here that sends a negative message. And so, you know, be always on the side that will send a good message, because we have a lot of children that's mimicking people. They don't even know what they're singing about. You know, and so I had my niece, she's older now, but when she was 7, she was in the living room dancing and hopping around and singing Molly. And I'm like, do you even know what you're singing about? It really pissed me off, you know, because I'm like, there's children that are wanting to be like these famous people and these stars that they see on these videos. What would you say to a young person that is coming up and about what it is that is a positive message, or how to take it all in? What would you say?
Well, for the most part, you know, I just think music is definitely, you know, if you're an artist, you know, you're an art. You know what I'm saying? And it's like,
right.
It's a form of art. And if it's not how you really live your life, then, you know, you really shouldn't be, you know, doing a lot of different things out there. But for the most part, you know, you can't, I don't really know what to tell them, because people are going to do what they want and listen to what they want to listen to, you know, for the most part. But, you know, the only thing I can say is just more so just like stay positive, you know what I mean? And I mean, it's okay to like what you like and mimic what you mimic as far as words go. But, you know, just be mindful of how words can be very, very, very powerful. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, yes. Definitely.
You know, so
definitely.
You can definitely manifest whatever it is that you speak out.
Yep. And so, what are your plans? Where do you see yourself going, like in the next year or two?
Well, I see myself at least charting and, you know, getting on the Billboard charts and possibly being nominated for a Grammy.
Yes.
That's the direction I'm headed in.
Yes. Absolutely. I definitely want to be there. If you, I want to be there for that.
I'm working on it every day. You know, I'm around some great, talented producers and, you know, record executives. So, you know, it's just a matter of time before something really kicks off. So until then, I just got to keep grinding and getting as much exposure as I possibly can.
Yes, that's true. And so what was the song? Because I don't even see the name of the song
T-O-P.
That I just played.
The name of this, it's called T.O.P. It's basically like the type of pack. It's like, you know, you got these kids out here, they go crazy and, you know, they wilding out. And it's like, you know, I'm just basically asking them what type of pack are they smoking. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I just think people can sometimes lose their mind. And, you know, it's like an alter ego. It's like I'm speaking like a third person, like as if I was that too. You know what I mean? But it's called T.O.P.
Okay.
Type of pack. The single's probably been out for about a month now. I don't remember the date. It released on Memorial Day.
Okay.
Memorial Day.
And I know you're an artist as well,
you know,
because you designed the actual cover, right?
Say that again.
I said you designed the cover for that. Is it the cover for that?
I designed it, and I had somebody just put it together for me. You know, something simple. I didn't want to go too heavy on the cover. I just wanted it to be like real plain graphic.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. And before we stop, tell people where they can find your music and purchase it, and you know.
Well, you can actually locate me on Google. You can find me on Google at Humphrey Bogard. That's H-U-M-P-H-R-E-Y, Bogard, B-O-G-A-R-D. You can Google me, or you can find me on Spotify, same name, or you can go on IG. You can find me there, same name. You know, Facebook, same name. I'm on Pandora. I'm on Apple Music. I'm everywhere that they possibly play music in. You can find me there. You know, all music
yes.
distributed through Sony Orchard. So you can find me
okay.
anywhere. All over
okay.
the world.
And if they want to book you, where do they go?
Well, they can go to, you can book me at E Music Entertainment. That's emusicentertainment.com.
Okay.
Yeah,
and is there anything else?
.com and you can speak to, you can kind of reach out to my manager, Debbie Eagle, if you're interested in booking.
Okay.
Or you can contact me on Instagram and we can make something happen.
Okay. Great. And just before we go, real quickly, is there anything that you would like to say to the Talk to Me audience?
Well, just thanks for listening. I'm blessed and honored to be a part and participate in what's going on here. I'm really honored, and thank you, Sherry, for having me. You know, just
yes.
everybody just stay blessed and, you know, do the right thing. right thing, and don't forget to Google me.
Yes, and you keep making the moves, cuz, and I'm so proud of you. I love hanging out with Dre, because I know nothing's going to happen when you around. I am definitely protected. I know that much.
Yeah, we're definitely
going to
have a good time. Every time is a good time.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That's an understatement.
No bad vibes. All good vibes.
Yes, yes. So thank you so much. Tell everyone I said hello. God bless. Sam, if you're listening, thank you so much for tuning in. And you continue to do what you do, Humphrey Bogart.
All right. Thank
All
you.
Right. Bye-bye. You're welcome. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have it. That was Humphrey Bogart. My cousin, who has been just making some tremendous moves in the rap game. And so I know he's going to go even further than what he has already gone. I am going to go to a quick break, and I'm going to play a little bit of Show Off by Ebony. She was the guest that was on the last time, and I really just feel this song. So I'm going to play that and come back to you soon.
Staring at you from across the room, I tell you I know what you need. You're sitting with her drinking the best champagne, but you'd rather be here taking shots with me. Crazy that I got a man, but I'm jonesing for you, baby, and I don't even know your name. You can't take your eyes up off me, cause I'm all you see through your designer frame. As you pass by, I drop a note that says, baby, I wanna get next to you. She said, I know you don't need me, but you can free me from the pain that I've been through. I like I'm educated, but hurtful, know how to handle this good, baby, could that be you? Maybe curiosity kill the cat, and baby, that's just what I want you to do. I'm about to show up for you like no other, baby, than a mother. Just wait till I get you under my cover, better than a mother. Be quick to show off for you like no other, better than a mother. Just wait till I get you under my cover, better than a mother. I'ma show you, you could get it, baby. Did you get it, baby? Boy, I know that you ain't had nobody like me. I wanna do things until you let me do things. I wanna show you, you could get it, baby. Did you get it, baby? Boy, I know that you ain't had it quiet like me. I wanna do things until you let me do things. You like the way I play with it, put my weight on it. Yeah, you like the way I sing to it, surround and cling to it. Love you like a king, devour and invade your existence. No need for resistance, pleasure away your pain. Yeah, I do all the work, no assistance. My touches and kisses will set your mind aflame. I'm about to show up for you like no other, baby, than a mother. That is so good. Just wait till I get you under my cover. Show up for you like no other, better than a mother.
You never know what's in store.
Just wait till I get you under my cover, better than a mother.
Just come inside and lock the door.
Do things,
yeah, yeah.
I wanna,
That was Show Off by Ebony. And I am going to just give a couple announcements again. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio. This is Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough and Talk to Me Media. Thank you for tuning in once again. Tell a friend about this show. Pass the information along. We've been doing this show for 12 years. And when I say we, I'm talking about Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and myself. Over 400 guests. Over 200 episodes, over 10,000 listeners, reaching the U.S., Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Cameroon, Philippines, India, Ireland, Sweden, South Korea, Malaysia, and Japan. I will read past guests at the very end of the show because I do not want to take any time away from my second guest, because this man is truly funny. I know you've seen him. I know you've seen him. But if you'd like to donate monetarily, please do so. The information is up on the show page. You can go to my Cash App. You can go to my website if you want to browse through and see what type of artwork you might like. I definitely can work out a payment plan with you. I have 19 books that are available for our e-books. You can go to my website to books. And you can browse through the descriptions, and if you'd like to place an order, please contact me directly. You could text me, 203-952-9807. I do not take blind callers, so please let me know who you are, because if I don't know who you are, more than likely I will not be answering the phone call. But in any case, I just wanted to share that this was my cousin Humphrey Bogart that was just on. The song that I started off with this time, I changed it up. It's called Teasy, and it is a gospel rap song, and that's why I kind of liked it. And I said, let me play that to open up the show this time. But in any case, I'm going to move on. I want to say happy birthday to everyone, all the Virgos out there, and send my condolences to anyone that has lost a loved one since the last show. And my heart goes out to you. This man has played in many, many platforms. He's been in several movies. One is Death of a Dynasty, Comedy Only in the Hood, Meet Me at the Movies. He's been on Def Jam Comedy. I met him at the Metrics a few months ago, and I know that I just saw him about a week ago. A friend of mine, Mika Jean, gave a comedy show at Murphy's in Bridgeport, and he was the headliner. I thought I was going to just pass out like four times. I was laughing so hard I couldn't stop. It was crazy because this man had me in stitches. And I just want to put him in, excuse me, right now. Hello, can you hear me?
I'm here. Yeah, I can hear you.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, how you doing?
Good.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Cool Bubba Ice.
Cool Bubba Ice. Yeah, people say that first. You just had me just jump on it. Hey, how you doing? I'm like, hey, Cool Bubba Ice, come to the stage. Yeah, Cool Bubba Ice. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? I was looking at a few pictures of you online, and one picture caught my attention when you were on Def Jam Comedy years ago.
Def Jam Comedy Jam.
You had this huge hat on that was like ridiculous. That's how I said, yeah. Oh my God. That's where I saw him at.
Yeah. Many, many moons ago. It was 1993 when it aired, but I taped it in 1992. So yeah, that's my son was in the belly when my son was in the belly when I taped. And when he came out the belly, I think I aired in March. I think I aired in March 1993, and he was out. We tried to have him stay up and watch my show, but he couldn't even stay up. It was midnight. He was gone. I was like, I can't hang. I got to go sleep.
Okay. Yep. Oh, my birth month. He an Aries?
Yeah, he crazy. Yeah, he's Aries. He don't listen to nobody. He want to do everything himself. Even if it ain't working, he still want to do it. I said, you know what? I'm
That's
done.
Me.
I can't. Yeah, it ain't working. Like, what? That's it's not working. What are you doing? I know, Pop, but it's going to work eventually. Yeah, okay. As long as you do that, son. As long as you do that. Call me a month later. Hey, you got something. I was like a bar. I said, yeah, that plan ain't working out. Still knocking the dust off the top. Like, okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, we can be very stubborn when we think we want to do something. I don't want no help. Leave me alone. I can do it.
He don't want no help, but boy, he won't know how to mess up a ham sandwich, boy. I don't know how he's doing it, but that boy will mess up a ham sandwich. I don't know how he do it, but it is what it is.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I want him to win, but
cool,
I guess
Bubba,
he'll be 45 with his nigga. I don't know. Huh?
So when did you start doing comedy? I know you had to be funny as soon as you popped out the womb. You was telling jokes.
Nah, I didn't. I started doing comedy in 1989. I was a junior in high school, but I was quiet as a child. I wasn't like a talkative, I was quiet. So when the people started, my family heard me doing comedy, like, you doing comedy? You was so quiet. I said,
for real?
I was. Yeah, I was quiet. I wasn't really like, I didn't really start to come into my own until maybe middle school. I wasn't as shy anymore. And then, I started getting a little goofy, and it got goofier and goofier as time went on. But, yeah, I was a late bloomer. But my dad was a late bloomer, too, so I get that from my pop. He was a late bloomer. I was a late bloomer. So, I really wasn't getting no action until I was, like, my late teens. So, it is what it is, But, yeah, I started doing comedy in 1989. And, 1989, the first thing I did was a Christian retreat with my best friend. We had went to the Christian retreat. I don't know why they always send the heathens to the Christian retreat, because we was wilding out.
He's stupid.
Doing pain and wild stuff. Now, we on the Christian retreat just wilding out, tongue kissing girls. I mean, they was getting asked. I wasn't getting nothing as usual, but, but my friend was, he was getting it in. So, yeah, it was a funny Christian retreat. So,
y'all was in the right place, though.
Yeah, most Christians are free. Anyway, I lost my virginity to a Christian chick. That's facts. I lost
my
virginity to a church chick. She was like, as soon as I come off of church, I'm going to come see you. I'm like, what? how that happened?
Oh, my.
Yeah, that was fun. Ooh, man.
I believe it. Let's move on from that one. That's a whole nother subject.
Okay. I got enough stories that it would take us at least about 4 or 5 hours for us to cover everything. Like, I got a lot of stories. 15-20 minutes is just not even. It's like the tip of a pencil of my career. It's so much stuff I do.
Right.
It's like a tip of a pencil. Yep.
So what was the first show, major show that you played, coming out the gate?
What do you mean, first television show?
Well, any show that was significant or, was a pivotal moment in your life.
Well, at that time, Showtime at the Apollo was big, but people were scared to tape that show because they boo you off today. So they were not playing. So it's funny that there's a couple of comics on that show. We wound up being like the best of buddies after I seen them. Like, I saw Hamburger on Apollo. I saw my boy Derek Fox on Apollo. My boy Jay on the Apollo, and this guy named a Bulldog of Comedy, all four of them from Jersey. And it's funny to watch them on the Apollo in 89 or 90 when I saw them, and then we wound up all working together. And to this day, me and Hamburger were together, Jay. Yeah, so it's like, it's funny. You see people on television, and you wind up working with them. So that was the first show I seen everybody on. But my first television show was Apollo Comedy Hour. That was my first show, and that was like 1990. I think I just graduated. Like, that was like 1990, 91. So I was a baby.
90,
like, I was fresh out of high school. Yeah, like, I was fresh out of high school.
Yes. Because I know. Right. Because I know when I first saw you, I was very young, too, because I'm like a year older than you. So, that had to be when I was, like, coming out of Howard when I first saw you on TV.
Yeah, that's my first TV show, Apollo Comedy. With the Apollo Comedy, I mean, I did another one, but it was like it didn't go on television. It was some dude shot for a cable. He shot it
to be on television, and it wound up coming on like public access. And then years later, he tried to put it on DVD and VHS and DVD, and he wound up getting, we sued him. Well, I didn't sue him, but my boy sued him because they were selling it at Blockbuster Video. That's how long ago this was. On Blockbuster Video.
What?
I'm like, yo, you didn't give us no money, no residuals. You're just going to show our stuff. So we sued him. I think we got like $500 a piece or whatever. And that was actually the first show I ever did. But I don't even know where that thing is at right now. It was like big because it was me, Hamburger, Derek Fox. Bill Bellamy was on. It was like, it was star studded on that show, or Jersey Finest.
My
at the time.
Goodness.
So, like, yeah, if I could find that DVD right now, I would definitely get it and put it on something.
Yes.
And try to send it myself, but I don't even remember the name of it. But,
absolutely. That is the principle of the whole thing because, you know, any time in entertainment when you're young, you don't know the business aspect of show business yet. Sometimes you put your stuff on different genres like tapes and, you know, in the studio, things like that. You're not thinking about, oh, well, if it blow up or if this person blow up and I'm on it, you know, what's going to happen then? Am I going to get paid? You don't think like that. You know?
Yeah, that's what happened to Cat Williams. Cat Williams had shot his first HBO or shows. I think it was HBO. He had his first special he shot on HBO. I think 2 years before that, he shot one, and it was someplace else. And as soon as the HBO thing popped up, the other one popped up. So I think he did like a cease and desist so they couldn't show it no more or something. And then he I don't know, something happened, but I think he sued them and he got some money and they pulled it and they re-released it. It was crazy, but a lot of cats try to, you know, get on your stuff when they find out that you're about to blow up. So everybody want to jump on you and, oh, yeah, well, we had them first and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Apollo Comedy was the first, Apollo Comedy was the first TV show that I did. And then Apollo Comedy was first. And then I did this thing called, what was it called? It only had like a couple episodes, and I forgot the name of it. Anyway, it was a segment on the show. I was called DJ Scratchy Fish. I was DJ Scratchy Fish, and it was the Guppy, and it was on some weird show on HBO, and to this day, I still can't find it. I wish I could find the episodes. I think I saw a few of them on YouTube a couple years back, and then I did Def Comedy.
Okay.
That was my third appearance. So Def Jam was my third appearance on television. Yeah.
And so how did you find your niche, like your style? Because you're definitely not like everybody else.
Well, I started in, like I said, I started in 89. And what happened was the third stage I ever touched was this club called Terminal D in New Jersey. And I had ran into Hamburger and Derek. And it was like, yo, you know, they saw me. And they was like, yeah, you know, you need to go to Uptown Comedy Club in Harlem. And they'll teach you how to do comedy. And I was like, teach me how to do comedy? You know, how you do that? And he said, well, just go up there and find out. Now, mind you, these cats in Harlem, they was called the Brown Brothers. They taught people how to do comedy. And they didn't charge them. They didn't charge them nothing. Meanwhile, you go up, you know, downtown, you go to the mainstream room, they charge people to do comedy. And you got to take the comedy class. And they charge you, you know, a certain kind of money, whatever. Meanwhile, Uptown didn't charge anybody anything. But when you did shows with them, that's when they got their money.
Oh.
Yeah, they got their money that way, the CMAC way. So if you might think you're going to do a show for $25, they, you know, they probably was asking for $100, so they got $75 and you got $25.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't pay up front, but you paid when you did shows for them. But it was cool though.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we didn't know about money and you know, supposed to be getting paid for performance because we were still new. And you remember, this is 1989. We didn't really have a big black system. People was doing comedy shows any and everywhere. We was on some real wacky shows. We was on shows and the lounging mats and barbershops and all kind of weird stuff. Strip clubs, you know, anywhere. Anybody had to. We did a comedy show at Bentley's one time. I'm like, we doing comedy at Bentley's? Like, it was doing comedy all over New York. It was crazy. Spodio.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a bunch of clubs in New York that did comedy back then, so it was like it was different. So it was still new, and
yes.
Def Jam wasn't out yet. So when Def Jam came out, that's when the better venues start coming off, and we had real comedy nights where people paid to come see comedy. We didn't just turn the music on. Hey, y'all ready to see a comedian? Hell no, put the music back on. So, you know, it was hard. It was hard back then. So when I hear these young cats complaining, I'm like, man, do you know we had to perform that, dog? You know what I'm saying? We had to perform. People was dancing and stopped.
Oh, my goodness.
That was some scary.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you're getting your start at anything in entertainment or with your artistry, that's some of the avenues you got to go through, you know, because I believe that it gives you not just the flexibility, but it also gives you what you need, that fortitude when you're on stage, so that you can do what you do in front of any crowd, you know, small
yeah,
or big.
Yeah, but they don't have that no more. Like they actually got comedy nights, but we started it. You know, we were the ones
right.
that we did the groundwork for these young cats. So if it wasn't for us doing these weirdo shows and they could now do a club tonight and not have to worry about turning the music off and then turning it back on after the comedian get on stage
right.
and fight with the crowd.
Yes.
And, like, they don't have to do that. They could actually go to
right.
a night and start a comedy night and have a good time and don't have to worry about people getting heckled and nothing like that. But back then, they didn't know what comedy was. People were just throwing them up all over the place. Like, everybody
yes.
had a comedy night. At the Def Comedy Jam, everybody had a comedy night. And sometimes it worked, and a lot of times it didn't. And it was just like a training thing. And we didn't have a lot of black comedy clubs. We had to, you know, some people had to, before Def Comedy Jam, we had to go to the mainstream, and the mainstream treated us like trash. Like, they was like,
dang.
Oh, you know. Yeah, they had their Negro quota, so they couldn't put us on. They wouldn't put us on. They put, like, one, and you keep going back and back
right.
and back, and they just kept turning you down and discouraging you. So when I take Def Comedy Jam, I swore to myself I wasn't going to take that abuse no more. Like, I'm not going to just, you know, keep coming to this club and you telling me I'm not worth this or I got to work on this. Like, how can I work on something if you don't give me the tools to work on them? So it was just like,
exactly.
It was cool.
Yeah.
So now it's a little bit easier now.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit. It's not. They're not as prejudiced as they were in the 90s as they are now. Because now they know they're shut down. You got social
yep.
media, so you can't pull
yep.
that crap they pulled in the 90s. So that's a good thing about it.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? When you were talking about this, it reminded me when Curtis Blow came on my show years ago, and he talked about being a pioneer and a trailblazer, because
mm-hmm.
that's what you guys were. And
mm-hmm.
what he had to go through just for black faces to be recognized in that area of hip-hop. And how they couldn't
yeah.
curse on the radio. You know, we couldn't curse back in the day on
nope.
record. You know, you
no.
couldn't talk about, you know, swiping cards up your behind and jiggling and jangling
mm-mm.
and all that kind of. We didn't even have videos until like 1984, you know, or something
yeah.
like that, or 83, you know. And
yeah.
so we didn't see all of that. My grandmother had a fit for, you know, me playing a Ready for the World song, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
she would go crazy. I mean, like, banging on the door, shut that music down. I mean, it was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it, anytime you are a trailblazer or a pioneer, you're going to go through way more than the people who come after you.
Yeah. They don't understand all the stuff that we sacrificed, so they don't have to they don't have to do the stuff that we had to do. You know, so a lot, like I
right.
said, I really want to, dang, I don't know how I'm going to get all this out, but it's a lot. Like, it's so much stuff that I keep finding. Now, every time I get interviewed, it's more stuff that I forgot about that I could talk about. People are like, you could write a book. I'm like, ain't nobody going to buy that book now. Like, they'll buy it if I blow up, though, but, you know, they ain't going to buy it now.
You already, look, mm-hmm. you already mm-hmm. accomplished a lot. Every time I've seen you perform, you've outdone
mm-hmm.
yourself. I mean, I almost couldn't breathe like four times when you was at Mika's show last week. I was Sheree, you got to calm down. I mean,
That's what I learned. I had to learn. We learned how to do that years ago because the Uptown Comic Club taught us that you got to be remembered. So this is like your first joke,
right.
Your middle joke, and your last joke. You got to be remembered. When you get off that stage, you're going to like, yo, that's all they're going to remember. They're going to remember your first joke, the middle joke, and your last joke. So when you get up that stage, you got to go, boom, good night. Ah! You know, so that's how
right.
I learned. So we don't, like these guys, they don't know a lot of stuff that we know. So when I see a young cat doing comedy or a young female comic doing comedy, I give them advice. I get them pointers. I say, call me. I'll tell you what you need to do, da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and they'd be surprised. You really give me? And I would say, yeah, call me. If you need some advice, I give it to you. So a lot of them don't teach
right.
them anything. A lot of states I go to do comedy, they don't really have a lot of comedians, you know. So in some states, they got one or two comedians, and that's it.
Mm-hmm,
you know, so
they're not gonna share
the information on how to get better. So like certain states like North Carolina, Atlanta, like some of them don't teach the comedians what they need to do. You know, like they like, nah, I learned the
hard way. But you know, that's so wrong.
You gotta learn the hard way. Hmm?
Yeah. I think that, you know, even as a mentor, you know, in anything, or, you know, somebody who has gone before you, I think that is your reasonable service to give a little something. Not to say you got to give all your time, but to give a little something to somebody that you might take under your wing. I mean, because, you know, laughter heals the soul, and I've always loved comedy. I've been, you know, jokester all my life, you know, especially in the, you know, at home in the family, you know. So I've always honed my craft that way, you know, and I love acting and try to combine the two, stuff like that, you know, and everybody has their own unique way of reaching an audience. But I think that it should be encouraged, you know.
It's supposed to.
Each one.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like that. And unfortunately, it's not. There's a lot of comics that they won't give back. They're not trying to give back. They don't want to give back, and they just want to give to themselves. And we learned a long time ago, those kind of comics and that kind of thinking, you're going to be alone. And you're not going to, you know, when you fall on your face, nobody's going to come back to come get you because you didn't look out for nobody.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then you got the comics such as myself that I looked out for a lot of comics. I saw a lot of comics the game. And it's funny how they don't do the reach back. Some of them do. A lot of them don't. And I don't get mad about it. I'm like, you know what? You do what you want to do. I'm gonna do what I've been doing, and I'm gonna get in there. So I'm never gonna be that comic. Oh, you can probably look out for me, like whatever. You know, you can look out. If you look out, great. If you don't, you don't. It's whatever. But you know, I come from a time. I'm like the street cat said. I come from a. I'm cut from a cloth where, you know, when our brothers was struggling, we like, yo, call this person. Hear all the shows that over here. Like. When J.B. Smooth was on our level, Smooth was driving on the road doing shows. And we were like, yo, J.B., where the shows at? Oh, man, J.B. Smooth would drive to all his shows. I'm like, this was before planes and everybody at J.B. Smooth would get in his truck. Get some cassette tapes and snacks and drive, no matter where it was at, Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, he was gone. And then he finally got years later, you know, running around New York, circling up and down, he finally made that plunge and went to L.A., and the rest is history. And I remember when he went to L.A., I came there for the summer, and J.B. Smooth and I was like Batman every show we did together because is where we learned how to do comedy, which was the Uptown Comedy Club. They taught us how to do comedy. So we had to do comedy in some crazy spots. So when we got to California, it was like, oh, this ain't nothing. And we went up in there and we were destroying rooms. And people were like, yo, when you leaving? Because they couldn't, like, tear those rooms up those 2 months. But when I should have stayed, I left. He stayed, and, you know, look at him, you know. So that's the rest of his career. It's star-studded. He on a Larry David show. He doing all little commercial, Caesar commercials and stuff and all that stuff. So he doing his thing. So, yeah, he stayed, you know. And then he had a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
He had somebody with him, helping him. And that's the number one thing you need in this comedy game is you need a manager. You need somebody that's going to talk for you and get you to that next level.
Yes, you do.
Unfortunately, I had a bunch of crooks
that's
and robbers.
Anything.
So I couldn't get to that level, but eventually I'm going to find somebody that ain't going to try to destroy my bank account, you know, because they want to eat.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you got to have a mouthpiece.
And you'll find it. I believe you'll find it. I mean, because you've laid the foundation already, and you put in the time. So, you know, it's only a matter of time before what you want is going to happen. And I'm going to be having his brother, Think Floyd, on next month at the end of October.
I got 1,100 J.B. Smooth stories where, man, oh, my gosh. I remember when he started. like, it's so funny that anybody you can name that's in the business, I got a story on. I know them from Jamie Foxx to J.B. Smooth to Steve Harvey to, like, it's so many. Bernie Mac, Cedric Entertainment, like, all those cats that made it now, I got a story on when I met them or whatever or where they was at when I met them for successful-wise or unsuccessful-wise or about to be on it, that next level. To me, the most funniest, unforgotten comedian to ever touch the microphone was my boy Dougie Doug. Like, that boy, that man should have been a billionaire by now. Like, he was doing stuff that people wasn't – he was ahead of his time. And I was like, why?
Right.
You know, I don't understand it. Like, it just, like, he was like he's about to be there, and then, you know, it just went left. I don't know what happened. But that dude, to this day, that, like, haunts me. Like, yo, what happened? Why did he go to that next level? And this is, like, 89-90. Like, this is, like, this dude was destroying rooms, man. Like, his style was so crazy. I could honestly say, like, I took a little bit of him and a little bit of somebody else, and then I just kind of made my own style. But his style was so crazy. Like, I do impersonations, but this dude, man, oh, my God. Like, he was an animal with it.
Well, I'm glad. I'm just glad that Jackson, you know, brought you, you know, down and that you came down to do his comedy show so I could meet you in person because I knew you were special. From the time I walked around the corner, because I didn't see you that first night. From the time we walked around the corner, I said to my girlfriend, I need to talk to this man. And I went up and approached you, and you had on a yellow, bright yellow outfit. And I didn't know you from a can of paint at that time. I didn't even remember you from Def Comedy Jam. So, but I knew something was special about you. I didn't see you until after you came back again, you know, doing your thing. So, but I just want to say, you know, thank you for coming on. Be encouraged. You're going to get where you're going. I want you to tell my audience, where can they, like, see your stuff? Where can they connect with you to book you? And what you have coming up?
Well, this week, I'm all over the place. This week, I got a show. And matter of fact, I got a show this Tuesday in my spot in Queens. It's called Southern Girl. We do it every Tuesday night. It's on 2214-18. Hold on. Let me get that. I got to get the fly. Here it goes. 2218-28 Merrick Boulevard, Laurelton, New York. It's called Southern Girl Soul Food. We do it every Tuesday. Doors open at 6. Showtime is at 8:30. We're doing that this Tuesday. And that's going to be in Laurelton, New York, which is actually in Queens, some part of Queens. I never heard of before. And then Wednesday, I'm going to be in I'm going to be in Bushwick, Brooklyn, 2 Knickerbocker Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. That show is at 8 o'clock. Comedy night is what's the name of the club? I don't see the name. Oh, Rebel Cafe. And then Thursday, I'm going to be in Connecticut again. I'm going to be at the 2151 State Street, Hamden, Connecticut. It's called Lions and Bar. I'll be there this Thursday. Saturday, I got a show in Brooklyn again. Sunday, I have 2 shows. One in Philadelphia. It's called Brunch and Comedy. And then right after that, I'm opening up for what's that girl name? Oh my God, Allison Williams on Sunday in Delaware.
Yes.
Yes. So, and that's my people too. I got Allison Williams. Man, oh my God, this ain't enough time. We're gonna need like 2 days to interview me. So anyway.
Okay. All right.
That's this Sunday coming up. I'm doing a show. Allison Williams opening up for her this Sunday in Delaware. You can catch me on Instagram under Cool Bubba Ice with a K. KOOLBUBBAICE on Instagram, and that's the best way to reach me. You want to book me, hit me on my inbox, and I'll hit you back and let me know how much, you know, what you're working with. We'll go from there. And that's it. That's all I got for now. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, you go on YouTube right now, watch some old episodes of my show we did called Meet Me at the Movies. I know more people will watch the old part. I can kind of get the money up to do a new season and all the other good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
me, definitely.
Meet me at the movie on Instagram, because if you on YouTube, because if you try to go meet me at
YouTube.
The movie, they're gonna like, what? You'll never find it. So you got to meet me at the. But the with the children on to meet me at the movie. There you go. That's definitely fine. Yep. Well up on that bad boy. Yep.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it, and I just wish you the best in every endeavor that you are trying to do. Just forget me, little old me, Sheree Humphrey, down here in Bridgeport.
You got it. All right. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. Have a blessed night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
There you have it. That was Cool Bubba Ice, comedian. He's been all over the place. One of the pioneers in comedy. So check out one of his shows or all of his shows, and, you know, reach out to him in the formats that he said that you can reach out to him online. I want to thank both of my guests, Humphrey Bogart and Cool Bubba Ice, for coming on tonight and taking out the time to talk to you all and talk to me. I'm going to take you out. Oh, before I do that, I want to play one song, come back and let you know all the past guests in case you have never listened to this show before and you want to know who's been on this show. So I don't know everyone that's been on here, but I do know some. So I will do that, but I'm going to play a little bit right now of A Diamond in the Rough by Anthony Hamilton.
Better fail. Looking at you, I can tell you've had hard times in your life. Now it's time for me to make everything right. I'm gonna shower you with lovely things, help you smile again. I'm gonna get to know you, make it right so you can breathe again.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and I'm here to make it better.
Yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and we gon' shine it up together.
I see the scars from the broken heart. Life's got you down.
Life's got you down.
And the bags under your eyes have the smiles inside. It's tearing you apart. Girl, you're looking at change. I'm a man who prays, and I'm strong in faith. God must have had a plan, placed you in my hands. Let me lead the
you're
way.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl.
Diamond in the rough.
And I'm here to make it better. You're a diamond in the rough, girl. And we gon' shine in love together.
We gon' shine in love together.
You're a diamond in the rough.
You're a diamond in the rough.
And I'm here to make it better.
Here for you, baby.
You're a diamond in the rough.
That was Diamond in the Rough by Anthony Hamilton. This is Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio. I do have a new radio site, which is just for pre-recordings. You can go. It's on my show page. It's shows.acast.com/talktometo. So you can go there. You can also check out my YouTube page, past commercials, past shows, me doing press over the many 10 years of being involved in the McDonald's Gospel Fest, the singing on the choir there. But I know one thing. If God ever opens the door for me to do comedy, doing a TV series with Mother Me God and reenacting my great-grandparents who raised me, it is going to be a dope hit. And also, my lifelong dream is to do my life story. It will be better than Woman Thou Art Loose, Antoine Fisher, and I forget the other movie, but it's all of that, Precious, all intertwined. So if there's any producer out there that is listening and you want to be a millionaire, because I know I do, and I claim it at the beginning of the show that I am wealthy in every aspect of my life and spiritually. So that is my profession and confession to me, putting it out there in the atmosphere, because my life story is something else. I don't even want to get into it, but I will be on a radio show telling my life story. That is coming up. I'll give you the information as soon as I get it. So hopefully I will have that information by the next show. If not, you know, oh well. But it will probably be a link or something posted to my Facebook or my Instagram. So you can find me, go to my website, click on the little Twitter, icon, the other icons for Facebook or whatever. There's a lot of information, a lot of photos, a lot of footage up there. So follow Diamonds in the Rough and the original Talk to Me Radio. I do want to just start reading some names right now of people who have been on this show, including the guests I just had on. So if you want to continue listening, bear with me here. A lot of names. Melba Moore, CeCe Peniston, J.J. Harrison, Christopher Williams, Bernard Jackson of Surface, Doobie Powell, Curtis Blow, Stacey Ladislaw Jackson, Glenn Jones, Yo-Yo, Donnell Jones, Special Ed. Some of these people have been on my media. I just recently did a new column featuring some of these people, and also they will be on the acast.com for the pre-recordings. Okay, more guests is the Green Violinist, Tony Redd, Darren Cookie Moore, Calvin Richardson, Wendell B., J.D. Lawrence, Marcel Lashley's Davies, Richmond Punch, Carmichael the Music Lover, Isaac Zellner, Cool Mike Ski, Wasan Jackson, Craig Kelly, A-Plus Hollywood, Tony Bird, King the Barber or / King Mafioso, Jonathan Du Bois Jr. And Sr., Ane Du Bois, Kim Mathis, Elder Jeanette Green Washington. She recently got married, so this is my girl. I love her dearly, but I got to get used to the new last name. Pastor Joseph Green, Avis Daniels, my mom, Andrea Daniels, my sister, Charles, my mother's ex-boyfriend, Sebastian Tribby, LaVon Briggs, Jonathan Gates, Mika Jean, Hope Flood, Howie Bell, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Capone, J. Alexander, Gerald Kelly, FSW, Pastor Brown, Janice Dempsey, Riff, Easy Taylor, Keisha Rainey, Judith Seeley, I think I said Darren Cookie Moore already, Rashawn Langley, Kiki West, Tiffany Tazell, Omar Wilson, Phoenix Fire, Jay the Comedian, Misconduct, Ricky Allen Drawn, J. Trini Goring, Coffee Goring, Deborah Williams of Her Game 2, Don Nod Nottingham of The Stylistics, Midnight, Sonia Hudson Payne, Trina Seymour Bowers, She too has a new last name, but I can't remember it. Lauren G., Sheila McCoy, author M.L. Brooks, Odelia, Pastor Felicia Cunningham, Lou Humphrey of BSE Recordings, another cousin of mine, Jerry Green of WYBC, Rasheen Dixon of WYBC, Steve Wallace, Sierra Clark, Lyle Hassan Jones, Songbird, Dave Farrell, Travis Sims, Jason V. Watts, Dwight Lamar, Herb Boyd Jr., Tyrone Dunmore, Candace Reno, Bobby Ramos, John Lawson, Matthew Kirkwood, who's the former assistant producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Big T, Lachey Nicole, Tamar Jerome Pierre, Greg Hill of the Delphonics, Robbie Jenkins, my former manager, Marilyn Moore, Marcia Sapp, Carissa Dow, she's a violinist, John Hinton, Bernadette Barnes, Prophet Ramai Jubilani, Ashley Mondestin, Pierre Guten, Pastor Arlene Henry, Maris Goldstone, Prophetess Brenda Culpepper. I think I said Darren Cook, Cookie Moore already. Damon Cook, Kia Swentz, Satanya Ford, Naja McKenzie, Najia Treat, Gloria Cummings, Darlene McGee, Pastor Gene Smith, Dr. Green, Rodney Bethia, Lynn Mosher, Darlene Addison, Chandra Shabazz, Carolyn Smith, Naja McKenzie, Kayla, Mr. Council, Nene Ali, Frankie Brady, Elder Savon DeGaskew, Pamela Wright, Spencer Kalen Jackman, Amari Daniel Bay, Jennifer Armistead, Robert Williams of Blue Magic, Jazz E. Matt, Dr. Jamal Bryant, Jamaica Morrison, Ernest Richards, we call him Preacher, Michael Jones, Denzel Williams, Gina Blaze, Connie Johnson, Lamar Taylor, James Fountain, Lisa Mellers, Jeanette Zatz, David Davis, Anthony E. Brown Jr., Ernell Grant, Ryan DeCausey, Doremius Williams, Matt Jones, Sheena Bailey, Johnny Lemon, Karina Fort, Tishy Anderson, Renee Love, Treasure Marie, Steve Wallace, Ebony, who you just heard her song on tonight, again, CeCe Lee, Renee Love, Kaylee Roselle, Top Notch Band, Norman Tappan, Monique Smith, other people I've interviewed with media throughout the years, mostly at the McDonald's Gospel Fest, and some when I was writing for Chocolate City News, which is my cousin's paper, Alan. Okay, Vicki Winans, Pastor Shirley Caesar, Donnie McClurkin, Mighty Clouds of Joy, Jennifer Holliday, Damian Marley, Little John, Sierra, Little Bo, Elephant Man, Terry Crews, Mary Mary, Bobby Valentino, Deidre Cadden, and many, many more who've been on my radio shows, Nigel, Dr. Jill Dunkley, Janet Dawson, Denzel Williams, the Velasquez Singers, Walter Armstead, Ashley Welfare, Walter Taylor, Janice Murray, Lawrence Green, Sammy Maximum, and John the Apprentice. So if I haven't called your name and you've been on my show, please forgive me. I do not have a record for the last 12 years. Only those who I have remembered and names have come across my mind. Thank you so much for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio. Until next time, we have two awesome ladies coming on, a business owner and a comedian that will be coming up on the next show. On the 26th of this month. God bless and take care. I'm going to take us out with a little bit of Proud of Me by Angie Stone. Good night.
I've been through dark nights. gave myself my time and my tears when I said I'm myself for me, the very best of me, the thing that sacrificed just to make it right, dreaming of a better life, you ain't gonna change, ain't ever gonna change.